For the first time in more than a decade, the ice caves were open at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore yesterday. Thousands of people showed up to see them. It's Tuesday, February 17th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Groh. Coming up on the show today, a national study named Marquette University as one of several colleges with large percentages of low-income students taking out high-interest loans. The study found the schools are offering financial aid to wealthier students. And we'll hear from two 70-plus athletes who will be competing in the cross-country ski marathon known as the American Birkebeiner this week. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
We are your hosts of Wisconsin Weekend from WPR News.
Each week, our team works to uncover the stories and events that communities all over the state take pride in.
Our goal is to bring you closer to the unique perspectives and the traditions that make Wisconsin a great place to call home.
Along the way, you'll hear uplifting stories of neighbors in your community making a positive difference.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10.
Thousands of people flocked to northern Wisconsin to get a glimpse of the ice caves within the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore yesterday. As Danielle Kading reports, people waited in long lines for the first chance to take in the rare winter phenomenon in more than a decade.
Many waited hours to catch a shuttle just to make the 2 to 6 mile hike. Duluth resident Annika Borovich says the ice caves have been on her bucket list.
Like, I think this is once in a lifetime.
Some drove 5 hours or more to see them, including Madison's Nathan Grieve.
All the icicles and just the kind of majesty of that just really makes it worth the trip, I think.
And the wait was well worth it for Stone Lake's Gloria Turk.
The driplets, they were coming down, and the ice coming over the cliffs. It was just fantastic.
11-year-old Macy Durheim of Duluth put it this way.
It was kind of something out of, like, a fairy tale.
The magical event is over for now. The National Park Service has closed access due to an incoming winter storm. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Marquette University allegedly pushed lower-income families to use high-interest student loans. The university was one of 41 colleges named in a new report by the progressive think tank The New America, alleging this practice. The study found that one-third of Marquette students who borrowed using high-risk Parent PLUS loans were also the recipients of federal Pell Grants for low-income families. Peter Granville studies college affordability at the Century Foundation. He says low-income families should avoid Parent PLUS loans.
Parent PLUS loans are a tempting source of revenue for colleges because parents can borrow so much of them so easily without necessarily understanding the true cost.
In a statement, Marquette said the PLUS loan option is presented separately in financial aid offers to help families understand their choices. Another public exposure to the highly contagious measles virus has been reported in Madison. A traveler from out of state stayed at the Holiday Inn Express on Madison's east side on February 6th. The person later tested positive for measles. Local public health officials say they're reaching out to known contacts of the affected person, but they do not have a full list of people who were exposed. Madison health officials say the new measles exposure is not related to a University of Wisconsin-Madison student who was hospitalized for measles at the beginning of the month. That case led to a number of public exposures on and around campus. According to UW-Madison, more than 200 students and employees received the measles vaccine at a campus clinic last week. University Health Services will offer 2 more vaccination clinics on Wednesday and Thursday. UW-Madison announced last week that it will now require students to report their vaccination status. Sturgeon spearing season opened over the weekend on Lake Winnebago, but this year there's a new addition. Joe Schultz has more on the first full-service cocktail bar built on the lake's frozen surface.
A line of people stood in 40-degree weather on 2 feet of frozen ice in the middle of Lake Winnebago Saturday afternoon, waiting to purchase a drink. Sturgeon Spirits, a craft distillery from Oshkosh, set up the bar a mile from shore. Some walked to get there. others drove. Scott Peterson of Neenah isn't a sturgeon spearer, but he couldn't resist checking the bar out.
It's Wisconsin. We like our alcohol, and we like our supper clubs, and we like our ice fishing. So let's combine it all. How about next year we get a supper club out here?
Lake Winnebago has one of the largest sturgeon populations in North America. Each year it draws people from across the country for spearing season. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Muskego man who was cited for disorderly conduct after writing January 6th in chalk outside of his local post office has been found not guilty. Jim Brownlow wrote that message on the sidewalk on the fourth anniversary of the attack on the U.S. Capitol. He said he wanted to remind people of the event. But local authorities said his action was disruptive. Police gave Brownlow a $565 ticket for disorderly conduct. He's argued the message was constitutionally protected free speech. Last Friday, a municipal judge found him not guilty. In her decision, she wrote the message was not threatening or indecent. Howard Schweber is an American politics professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
This clearly was protected speech. It did not come close to meeting the Supreme Court's tests for a threat.
Muskego's mayor wrote in an email that he and the city support the First Amendment and every individual's right to exercise it. Kenosha County's top prosecutor told the judge he used artificial intelligence for research purposes before he was sanctioned because of his AI use. That's according to newly released court transcripts from a felony burglary case that a judge has now agreed to dismiss. Kenosha County Judge David Hughes took issue with a two-page brief that the county's district attorney Xavier Solis had filed in that case. According to a hearing transcript, Hughes concluded that Solis had misapplied one case and cited another case that appeared to be made up. Hughes reprimanded Solis for submitting those false citations and for failing to disclose his AI use. In a statement after the sanctions were made public, Solis said his office is reviewing its practices to ensure accuracy in the future. Since Solis's swearing in last year, the DA has struggled with short staffing. Currently, about half of the office's assistant prosecutor positions are sitting empty. As concerns build about tactics being used by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, some people have struggled to figure out when a vehicle belongs to ICE and when it doesn't. As Sarah Lear reports, the Madison Police Department is trying to counter that confusion.
This month, Madison police added placards to the windshields of more than 100 unmarked vehicles. Those cards explain in English and Spanish that the cars belong to MPD. John Patterson is Madison's police chief. He says staff, such as detectives, who sometimes dress in plain clothes, are now being told to wear patches or other items that identify themselves as Madison police.
We're trying to address the instances where it's obvious to the public that it's a law enforcement officer, but it's not obvious as to who they are.
Patterson says in some instances, Madison police will still be allowed to go undercover with a supervisor's approval. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, two athletes in their 70s tell us about their decades of racing each year in the American Birkebeiner Cross Country Ski Marathon. The race from Cable to Hayward runs this weekend. Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
And finally, thousands of cross-country skiers will flock to northwestern Wisconsin in the next few days for the American Birkebeiner, one of North America's most grueling and prestigious cross-country ski marathons. This year, more than 170 skiers are age 70 or older. Wisconsin Today host Kate Archer Kent caught up with two skiers who race in the 70-plus wave. Mary Elaranta of Pewaukee has completed 31 American Birkebeiner races, and Jim Coors of Madison has skied 36 American Birkebeiner races.
So, Jim, how has skiing the Berkey changed your life?
Well, basically, it's just provided sort of the central pivot point for every year's activities because, you know, you got this thing at the third week of February, and it's a pretty grueling event. And all year long, you're saying, well, I got to do that 55K ski, and so I better get out on my bike and, you know. And also, I just love the North Woods in the winter. So, and it all centers around the Berkey. So my whole life basically pivots around the Berkey, and it has since I first started doing it in 1983.
Mary, you've been skiing for the better part of 50 years, and you say Berkey fever is real. How has the Berkey changed you?
Well, I started coaching 26 years ago and have 31 Berkeys. So I did my first Berkey before I started coaching. And the combination of the Berkey and coaching young athletes and instilling a joy of skiing in them that they can keep for a lifetime has just been pivotal in my life, in my skiing career. What being able to go to the Berkey year after year and seeing high schoolers that are now in college or through college or raising their families and coming back and skiing the Berkey, it's like Jim said, it's not just a race, it's an event, and it becomes a focal point of your year. You look forward to renewing those friendships and seeing those people that you worked with over the years and that are continuing in the sport. And then, of course, there's always the fear factor that keeps you going day after day, because it is, like Jim says, it's a grueling activity. It's a long way, and you don't want to go out there and be unprepared. You just want to be out there, and you want to be as prepared as you can so that you can enjoy the event. And I think that's one of the other things that keeps you moving and active throughout the whole year, if it's biking or hiking or whatever.
Well, let's move to Wave 70 here. And both of you have moved into Wave 70, this start that, you know, is different from other waves. Can you, Jim, describe what it's like to be in Wave 70?
Well, it's very nice. I mean, I skied in the first wave for a long time of my Berkey, many of my Berkeys. And then, it gets harder and harder to be competitive. And so it's more relaxing. And the 70-year-olds tend to be, you know, talkative and you go out and you chat and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, the whole start is much more pleasant and peaceful. And I kind of look for that as I get in there. And I should mention one more thing. My wife has also skied 35 Berkeys, and we've skied them together, not side by side, but in the same races. So actually, between the two of us, we have 71 Berkeys, which I think is an achievement. We've been married 50 years.
That's awesome.
Wow. That is,
you know,
that is a marriage built around the Berkey.
Yeah. And as I also add, you know, between the two of us, we're 151 years old. So that's even better. So.
I love these numbers. They're just eye popping. Mary, what is the energy like at the start line for Wave 70 for you? What does that camaraderie feel like?
It's great. You know, I remember skiing Berkeys, and yeah, your bib identifies what wave you're in, and you see a Wave 70 in front of you, and you might pass them, and you always say, hey, nice job. Great that you're out here, you know, and then more years go by and more years go by. And now I'm one of those Wave 70 skiers. And I get the same comments, you know, hey, great that you're out here.
Well, Jim and Mary, your stories are inspiring, and so is your Berkey fever. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's been fun.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
You can find the full interview with Berkey veterans Jim Coors and Mary Ellaranta at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Clouds building throughout the day with highs in the 40s and 50s today. Really windy at times with gusts near 20 miles per hour. A winter storm warning kicks into effect for Douglas and Bayfield counties overnight. A winter weather advisory for the rest of northern Wisconsin. Mostly freezing rain and high winds, but we could see some snow in far northern Wisconsin as well tonight. with lows down into the 30s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.